Welcome to Black Girl in CLE, the podcast. I am your host, Shayna Black, and in each episode, my special guest and I will talk about local events, the topic of access in Cleveland, and sometimes we'll just talk about some cool people who are doing cool things in the greater Cleveland area. I'll introduce you to this week's guest right after this. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Shayna Black, and today my host is very special. I always have a very special guest, but my very special guest today is Monique Dorsonville. Did I say that right? Please say I said that right.
Yeah, very close. Dorsonville.
Dorsonville. And she is the director of public policy at Facebook. Yes, Facebook. The Facebook. Welcome to the show.
Shayna, thank you so much for having me.
Of course. So what is the director of public policy? Like, what do you do? What does that mean?
I will break it down. So I sit on our external affairs public policy team at Facebook. And really my day-to-day is working with engagement. So third-party think tanks, advocacy organizations, nonpartisan civil rights organizations. Prior to joining Facebook, I served in the Obama administration for 7.5 years, most recently working with Valerie Jarrett in public engagement and intergovernmental affairs. So really the goal of my work is to bring third-party groups into conversations on policy, on product, and really making sure that we have a diverse set of experts that are giving the company advice and recommendations on issues like privacy and election security and how we work with the small business community. So that is my day-to-day at Facebook.
Okay. So let's talk about kind of some of those concerns, because I know we're looking more so at privacy for, you know, we're going to talk about small businesses, but when we think about some of the things with privacy and all the things that you just mentioned, for the lay person that just is a user of Facebook, what is that, like, what do you guys have cooking or how are you helping us as users by you being in that job?
Absolutely. I think one of the ways that our roles are really interesting on the public policy side, I think that one, it's really just getting people information, right? I think getting people authoritative information is incredibly important. So one, you know, we have a newsroom at Facebook where we regularly post updates. Our last privacy progress update was in mid-April by our chief privacy officer. And really, you know, this is about elevating the transparency of our privacy efforts. I think everyone that is using social media platforms needs to understand what the privacy policies are that really protect you as a user, that protect your data. You know, it's important to know those tools and controls just so you can make the most informed decisions as you're navigating the web. So I think people like me within Facebook, really it's about connecting with communities to make sure that they have that information, but also being on the receiving end of questions that people have about our privacy policy, questions that people have about different products that we're launching and the privacy features of those products. So my team brings in organizations, we do regular briefings, and trainings to make sure that people are as informed as possible. And where there are questions, we provide answers.
Very cool. So how do people find the newsroom that you mentioned?
Yeah, absolutely. The website for the newsroom is about.fb.com/news. You can also just Google Facebook newsroom and it'll be the first thing that comes up. There's a great search function in there. So if you put in privacy, you will get a post by Aaron Egan, who is our chief privacy officer, and you will get recaps of all of our privacy updates over the past few years.
Perfect. And we'll put that link in our show notes so that people can go back to it and find it directly. So let's move forward. You mentioned small businesses. Was that a passion of yours or just like that's kind of where you were assigned to do the work today?
So it's interesting. My mom, one of the first jobs she had, she owned a juice bar in Family Fitness. Now I think they're called 24 Hour Fitness. In any case, this was the 80s. And, you know, my mom was a younger Black woman in her early 30s. This was shortly after she had me. And that was how she really built the foundation for our family. And so when I think about small businesses are really like the lifeline of this country. When I think about immigrants who moved to this country, when I think about, you know, folks building from the ground up, when I think about people who create community and create experiences, so many of those memories are happening within small businesses. So I feel so lucky that part of my team's responsibility at Facebook is the opportunity to work with the small business community and really to support small businesses and provide tools as folks are using both Facebook and Instagram to grow their businesses and to create more visibility around their products and around their services. We've done a lot of focus on minority-owned small businesses. As you know, Black businesses were disproportionately affected by the pandemic. And so we put a lot of emphasis there to make sure that we're providing tools, grant opportunities, and funding opportunities for small business owners.
Is there a way for people that maybe aren't hearing about the grants to find out about that? Is that also in that newsroom?
So I will, I'll point folks to a different resource. We have a business hub. So the link there is www.facebook.com/hubs/economic_portal. And I will send you the link so we can include it in the show notes. But, you know, we've rolled out a number of new tools and resources to help small businesses. Recently, we introduced the really small business funding. So resources on Facebook that connect small business owners with purpose-driven grants and loan opportunities. So those opportunities can be found at the portal that I just mentioned. We also just last week, we expanded a really interesting program called the Facebook Invoice Fast Track Program. So beginning October 1st, eligible US-based small businesses will have the opportunity to get cash immediately for the goods and services they've invoiced their customers for, instead of waiting 60 days, 120 days, which is the period that, you know, normally takes folks to get paid. So we're going to be funding 100 million in invoices on an ongoing basis.
Nice.
I know for small business owners, not having capital tied up is really, really consequential when you're trying to get new orders out. You know, our COO, Sheryl Sandberg, recently published an op-ed, and she said, you know, she was hearing firsthand from our small business vendors in the early days of pandemic that they were struggling with cash flow. They told us that, you know, this was often because their invoices were rarely paid on time, and that really matters. And so that was really what inspired Jason Tremieux, our head of supplier diversity, to introduce this idea within the company. And I was so excited when our leadership said, yeah, this is something we should do. Let's move forward.
So are there certain types of, like, do you have to be a supplier of Facebook, or are you going to support businesses like across the board with invoices? Businesses like they have to apply across for it, or they have to apply for it, or?
Exactly. There is an application process, and I'll just share the link there as well. That one's www.facebook.com/business/invoice-fast-track. And so all of the information on how to apply and sign up and get involved is on that link.
Cool. So let's go back to, we're talking about kind of Facebook's commitment to small businesses and minority businesses. I was going to ask you, you've already kind of answered the why. And, you know, is it a temporary, while we're still dealing with COVID commitment, or is this going to be something that Facebook like wants to ingrain into business practice?
No, this is absolutely that something that Facebook has ingrained in business practice. So these programs that are COVID specific were in response to the pandemic. Prior to the pandemic, we've had a number of different programs for small business owners. There is a lot that we do around the holiday season that I'm really excited about. You know, I think a lot of research shows that one-fifth of small and medium-sized businesses make more than half of their annual revenue in the last 3 months of the year. So we know that, you know, a little support can go a long way. And so we have a number of grant programs, we have training programs, we have programs specifically for minority-owned business owners, for women-owned small business owners, and these go beyond COVID, and many of these programs were there before COVID started. So this is something that is really in the fabric and the DNA of the company. You know, there's a lot of research that we, you know, have really looked at as we're thinking through, you know, what are the ways that we're able to best support small businesses on our platform. And so everything we do, we try and tailor it to make sure that people can thrive both on Facebook and Instagram.
Let me just take a step back. Like, you were connected with me or introduced to me, and it was, you know, we want to talk about Facebook in Cleveland, you know, how they're supporting. Why Cleveland? Like, I know what's great about Cleveland, but why do you or Facebook, are you saying like Cleveland is a great place to really make sure that our message is heard?
I think it's a great question. I actually had the opportunity to spend some time in Cleveland during the pandemic for the first time. I love Cleveland, would love to come back to Cleveland. I will.
And
I
will
reach out next time I'm there. I will reach out. You know, I think one thing that, you know, really stood out to me when I was there is that Cleveland is a proud city with, you know, just a proud history. And, you know, the city and the larger kind of Northeast Ohio region is home to so many key industries. You know, I'm from California originally, but being in Cleveland, like the things that I saw were manufacturing, aerospace, the IT space. You know, I think it's really a region that, you know, is really home to so many skilled and talented folks in the national workforce, right? You know, I think those industries are thriving in Cleveland. I know it's, you know, one of the number one employment hubs in Ohio. I know that in turn helps small businesses in Cleveland thrive. You know, just in my time there and just doing a little bit of research, I know that, you know, Cleveland is home to nearly 300 restaurants, over 200 retail locations and boutiques. And so when you look at the business environment in Cleveland, you know, the city is certainly living up to the motto that I heard around progress and prosperity. So I think, you know, the more we're doing in Cleveland, the better. You know, we do trainings across the country, including in Cleveland. So the next time Facebook is in Cleveland, I will make sure that you have all that information so that folks can join if they're open to it.
Right. Thank you. I definitely. So let's talk about more of the business end. Like you said, you guys have come for training, and I know for many small business people, they're juggling everything, you know, their supply, their inventory, making sales. And I think the first rudimentary connection with Facebook is pages and groups. But from what you've already said, there's so much more. What are some of the other products or support ways that business owners can use Facebook effectively?
It's a great question. And the thing that comes top of mind for me is our small business network. It's called the Boost Leaders Network. This network helps business owners with everything from advertising on the platform to assisting them with promoting their business in the media and preparing for interviews. Anyone who's interested in joining the Leaders Network can simply search Facebook Boost Leaders Network on the site, and they'll be directed to a page where a business owner can apply to join. You know, in addition to the network, there are a number of free tools and resources available in our Business Help Center. That's another link that I will share with you after we speak, so we can include show notes. But that can also be found just by a simple search on the platform.
Very cool. So as business owners are using the tools, I've often heard people get frustrated and say, like, you know, they think it's all bots back there. So I'm glad you're here to see that you're not a bot. And, you know, they're getting frustrated. Like, why should they continue to pursue Facebook? You know, like they're what's the words of hope to not give up or be frustrated with Facebook?
Yeah. I mean, when I think about Facebook, and, you know, working here has really allowed me to see a whole other dimension of the company. But when I think about Facebook, I think about our core mission, which really revolves around building community. I think about family that I, you know, am not able to see in person during the pandemic. I actually just went back to California for the first time. And so my mom last month, for the first time in almost 2 years. But when I think about Facebook and our platform, I think about the ability to stay connected to people you love. I think about businesses being able to stay connected to, you know, people in their community, you know, who may be using their products and services. I think there's a really unique way to really make sure that, you know, if you're running a small business, even if it's extremely niche, you know, you're reaching the people who really want that service. And so I think what I'll say, you know, being at the company is filled with real people, real people who really care, right? That was one of the things that drove me to work at the company. And, you know, you say, why Facebook? That's the question that I had to ask myself after leaving the White House. Why Facebook, right? And the process that I went through was one, being drawn to the mission, two, just the scope and the scale of the company, being able to work on a global scale, being able to tackle issues that cross borders, I thought was really important. And then, you know, the third thing, I think there's so many interesting questions in the tech space that still need to be answered, right? You know, in the US, I think folks are looking at, you know, what regulation looks like in the tech space. And I think these are all really important questions that, you know, the tech sector needs to answer, but also governments need to answer, and civil society, you know, plays a role in shaping that and really making sure that folks know what that looks like. And so I think users of the platform have a really unique voice in that conversation. And so I would encourage people, you know, not only to continue engaging with the platform, but also to engage in these conversations that they're really passionate about that really affect society at large.
Thinking about kind of what you just said and moving into like engaging in conversation, engaging into these communities, there's been stories of people that, you know, like getting in the comments. The comments may not be a safe space for people. Like people have gotten into arguments and comments or what have you. How is safe Facebook, or what is Facebook doing to make sure like people's privacy is protected? Because that's one thing that people always talk about, like, is our information private, or, you know, making sure that people feel safe to and continue to engage in conversations.
Yeah. I mean, I spoke a little bit about privacy, on the front end, because privacy is one of the most important tenets, that the company ascribes by. I would also say the other thing that comes hand in hand here, is safety, right? So one, I think it's really important for folks to report content online. You know, I think when you're, whether, you know, you yourself are experiencing this or you see someone experiencing this, being able to report in app when you see any violation of our community standards, I think is incredibly important. So, you know, we have a community standard that focuses on bullying and harassment. That should not be taking place on our platform. And so, you know, when people engage in that activity, it's important to report it so that it can be reviewed and it can come down. We have an entire vertical within the public policy team that just focuses on safety. In late June, you know, we put out some work that we did specifically around women's safety. So what I really would encourage folks to engage with our newsroom and to read our privacy updates, to read the safety updates, and, you know, if additional resources are needed, I'm happy to dig in and share those with you so we can get those to the folks who are listening.
Cool. So let me just kind of rephrase or re-ask that question on the privacy and the safety piece, because that is huge. You know, how often are you guys, you know, doubling down or refreshing, or for lack of a better term, like stepping the game up to make sure folks are safe?
The company is consistently monitoring the platform. There are millions of pieces of content posted per day. But over the past, I mean, I've been here for 4 years, the amount of investment that the company has made just in content moderation and in hiring people with security backgrounds who are monitoring content has been exponential. If we look at our newsroom, I'd say every month or so, there's a new update on how we're focusing on privacy. So I think the bottom line is that this is not something that we take our foot off the pedal on. This is something that is a laser focus for not only our CEO and our COO, but also for our security teams in the US and around the world.
Okay. Let me kind of switch gears and go back to the small business folk. And the question I'm thinking about is algorithm. That's a word that if you have a small business, it's something that we constantly hear about, even if it's not necessarily you guys changing it, but it's often, oh my goodness, Facebook, Instagram is changing the algorithm. Can you talk a little bit about that, or like, why are you guys making changes? So, you know, I've heard somewhere that you guys are moving away from news, like political news. Like, is that an algorithm change, and does that affect people? Like, how are these decisions being made?
I think it's a great question. And so one of the things that our CEO talks about quite a bit is making sure that we're listening to users. So the change that you're referencing, you know, what we were hearing from users is that people wanted less and less political content in their newsfeed, and they wanted to hear more from family and friends. So that is a change that we made. And our leadership thought it was important to make sure that users were seeing what was important to them in their newsfeed. You know, when you think about how folks experience Facebook, I think a lot of people think about newsfeed first. So really, you know, the newsfeed is essentially Facebook's front page personalized to you. So the vertical display of text, the images and videos that you scroll down once you open the app on your phone or log into the platform on a computer. When I think about the algorithm, the average person has thousands of posts they potentially could see at any given time. So to help people find the content that they will find most meaningful or relevant, Facebook uses a process called ranking, which orders the posts in someone's feed, putting things that we think that folks will find most meaningful to the top, right? So the idea is that, you know, this will result in content from, you know, your best friend being placed high in your newsfeed, while content from an acquaintance you met several years ago would be much lower. When, you know, thinking about the algorithm, every piece of content that could potentially featured, that could be potentially featured, including posts you haven't seen from friends, pages you follow, groups you join, everything goes through the ranking process I just described. So thousands of signals are assessed for these posts, like who posted it, you know, whether there's a photo in the post, whether there's a video or a link, how popular it is on the platform, the type of device people are using. From there, the algorithm uses the signals to predict how likely it will be to be relevant. And, you know, the goal is to make sure that people are seeing what they want to see and not, not content that is irrelevant to them.
So for business owners, since we're talking about the business side, does that impact if a business is selling a t-shirt and they just posted on their page, because it's not friends and family, you know, is that ranked differently? And I don't know if that's your department or not, but is it ranked differently, or is it kind of just held the same stature? Like, well, it's got a picture, it's a business, they follow the page, put it number one.
now you need me to get my technical people in here.
Next call, that's fine.
not my area. Okay. But it is something that I can check in with our newsfeed team and circle back with you on.
Okay. And the reason I asked that is because I've seen, and I know some small businesses that are spending money on products that swear like, we're going to teach you how to cheat the algorithm, or how to get your post seen, or, you know, whenever. And the reason, like, I think for me on the user side or on the business side is, we only hear the word algorithm. While there's an algorithm that's always happening, we only hear it in a negative connotation, like, oh my goodness, no one's going to ever see your post about your new t-shirt. And then there's somebody saying, but I can teach you how to hack it, I can teach you how to do this. And so you know, since you're here, is that something we need to be spending money on? Like, do I need to take a course in how to get my post about my t-shirt on Facebook? Or is there, are the tools inside the things you guys have already created?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you to take a course. but what I will say is that we, you know, anytime we make updates to our algorithm, transparency is a really big part of how we operate. And so we are posting updates on our newsroom. So the change that you mentioned, when you asked the question around, you know, people seeing more content from their family and friends versus political content, we have a newsroom post blog that really breaks down why that's the case. So I will encourage folks to truly use the newsroom as a resource, because to your point, it is really important to stay up to date as folks are figuring out, you know, the composition of their business pages and, you know, which groups they join and which posts to really focus on. So I would say that really following trends and making sure that you're informed about any changes we make is certainly important. And we do provide that information.
Okay. So tell me this, and I know we're going to run out of time soon. You said you mentioned that you had been at Facebook about 4 years. What's something that you've done that you're just really proud of the work you did?
The thing that I'm the most proud of at Facebook is helping to steer and guide our civil rights audit process. I joined Facebook, it was four years ago in early September. You know, one of the most important things that was clear to me when I got there, a lot of the advocacy organizations that I worked with were raising really important concerns. A lot of those concerns were around election security, privacy, misinformation, and they were really raising these concerns through a civil rights lens. So I was fortunate enough to work very closely with Laura Murphy, who is a brilliant civil rights and civil liberties leader. She was at the ACLU for a number of years and did really transformational work at Airbnb. Airbnb had a number of issues where they had hosts discriminating against folks on the platform. And they worked with Laura to essentially write an anti-discrimination policy. And so, you know, in my first year at Facebook, I approached Laura to see if she would be open to working with Facebook in a similar capacity to look at product and policy through an anti-discrimination lens. Laura joined Facebook and led a civil rights audit over the course of a year and a half. She published three external facing reports in partnership with a brilliant woman named Megan Cacasey at Relm & Dane & Colfax, a renowned civil rights law firm. And, you know, one of the most important things that Laura and Megan really achieved through the audit was strengthening the company's voter suppression policies. They also created a census misinformation policy. For me, you know, when I think about equity and rights, it's really important to make sure that you have diverse voices at the table when you're having these policy discussions. I think who's at the table directly impacts the outcome that you're going to get. And so just having that opportunity to work closely with Laura, Megan, and a really brilliant core team inside of Facebook, that is my proudest work at the company. And it was really amazing. One of the biggest results of the audit was the ability to bring on a civil rights team. And so Roy Austin, former DOJ under the Obama administration, joined Facebook in January as the company's first vice president of civil rights. He has built a team of nine. So folks focused on elections, product work, algorithmic fairness, and to me, that's how you create change, structural change over time. So it was really important not just to do the audit, but to figure out, okay, after the audit is over and Laura has provided these recommendations, who's going to lead that work within the company and what is that strategy going to look like? And now we have a brilliant team leading those efforts.
Great. So I heard you say product. Like, what are some, you know, to some people, Facebook is the product. what are products within the product of Facebook, if that makes sense?
Yeah, it does. So when we talk about product at Facebook, interesting word, because every update to a product is also called a product. But, you know, products that I think of, Oculus, so our VR glasses, are a Facebook product. We recently launched Ray-Ban sunglasses that will take photos, and you can use them for video footage. That is another product.
That sounds cool.
Within Facebook. Yeah, that was launched in the last 2 weeks. So those are two examples of products separate from Facebook as a platform.
Okay, so they're actual physical products.
They are.
Facebook are now moving into. Okay.
Exactly. Another one is Facebook has a portal. So it is a, you can essentially use it to video chat with folks anywhere around the country, around the world. We use that in our day-to-day work. It's great for team meetings. It's great for grandchildren to catch up with grandparents. You know, you can also watch, you know, videos on the portal, and you can view content. So that's another example of one of the products that we have.
Okay. Thank you for that. Thank you for clarifying that. So final question. What do you hope your legacy or outstanding work is going to be from Facebook? So you've had this great, you've already had your good day and your great moment in the civil rights unit that's coming in. You know, when it's time to move on or retire or next steps, what do you want to be like, hey, this is what I did. This was the great work I did at Facebook.
When I think about the great work at the company, when I project myself forward and I look back, it's really about access and opportunity. One of the things that my boss, Valerie Jarrett, used to say at the White House was that our team was like the front door to the White House. When I look back after my time at Facebook, I would like my team within external affairs to play a very similar role. Our team works with third-party advocacy organizations, think tanks, grassroots leaders, across the country and across constituencies. And, you know, one of the things that you said at the top of the call was a lot of folks are mystified by Facebook. You know, it's, people feel like there's this curtain. You know, I'd like that curtain to be pulled back. I want people to know that there are passionate, smart people within the company who care deeply about equity and who are thinking about how to build new products and put in place new policies from an anti-discrimination lens, thinking through those checks and balances on the front end, right? I think, you know, a lot of things that people read in the news are after the fact. You read about it when something goes wrong.
Right.
I want to be in a position where my team, working alongside the civil rights team and other teams at the company, are really putting in processes to make sure that we're catching these things on the front end. So when I look back on my legacy, it's really about my team, and it's about access, it's about opportunity, and it's about us using our roles at the company to open doors, to shove a doorstop in there, and to keep them open so that more small businesses, more advocacy organizations, more community-based organizations can really use the tools at the company to further their missions.
Okay. So before I let you go, is there anything that you wish that I had asked you or brought up? Because I know that like there's so much that we can have this conversation about small businesses. And I'm still wondering like, what are small businesses going to say after this? Like I'm trying to anticipate the follow-up call. Like, is there anything that you wish or that you want small businesses to know in regards to Facebook or your work?
The one thing that I would say, I think one thing that I think about, and I think a lot of small businesses think about this as well, is just like discoverability on the platform. Like, how do people find me on the platform? Mm-hmm. You know, Black entrepreneurs, small businesses, and local shops can now identify their page as a Black or minority-owned business on Facebook. So anyone who wants to support them can easily do so. the best way to find Black-owned businesses is in the Businesses Nearby tool, where you can browse and really click through folks who've self-designated. So if there's one thing I want folks to know is that, you know, if you want folks to know that you are a minority-owned business, and I think many folks are proud and, you know, are kind of screaming this from the rooftops, there is a way to self-designate to kind of up that discoverability. The only other thing would be all of the great tools. I hope that folks spend time in the business portal. We've got a Facebook blueprint program that specifically is working with Black students. So there's 100,000 Oh, wow. scholarships in that program. I'll share that link as well. But yeah, I think I just want folks to know that there are a number of resources and teams and verticals within the company dedicated to make sure that minority-owned businesses thrive on the platform.
That's awesome. So please feel free to come back as you guys are developing more tools or, you know, opportunities for folks. Cause I think sometimes, you know, it gets lost. And so even just talking to you today, I'm like, oh, wow. Or I've heard of Blueprint, like I think the last time you guys were in Cleveland, but never came back to it. Cause you know, life gets busy and people just kind of forget. So, you know, you're always welcome to come back, visit and chat and let us know what's happening at Facebook. So today, everyone, my guest is Monique Dornsville. Did I say that right?
Almost.
No.
Dorsonville.
Dorsonville. Monique Dorsonville, Director of Public Policy at Facebook. Thank you so much for your time today and being on the show. And please, again, feel free to come back at any time.
If you'll have me back, I will be there. Okay. Thank you so much for this amazing conversation.
Everyone, thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to this episode of Black Girl in CLE, the podcast. Please check us out online at www.blackgirlincle.com and like and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at BlackGirlincle. This podcast was recorded in Cleveland, Ohio, with post-production by the talented interns at Black Girl Media. Copyright 2019, all rights reserved and retained by Black Girl Media, LLC. Talk to you next time.